Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
And I'm Anish Gupta.
Srigar cannot be with us this week. He is in Miami, Florida, getting, you know, all sunburnt, spending some time, you know, in the Sunshine State, but the other one in Florida. So we're going to be without him today. And we thought, you know, what are some good things that we can do with just us two? We thought about doing some debates, some predictions, but in the end, we settled on our award choices for this year. Now, keep in mind, this is a little bit early. We might revitalize this in like a post format
or
something like that before the season, because I mean, there's MVP level candidates out there that we don't know what's going to happen with them, namely Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers. And we don't know what's going to happen with other teams. There still could be injuries. So we want to get into it and, you know, get some award picks out while Srigar is away. But keep in mind that it is still a little bit, you know, far till the season, and we might do another one of these. So I guess we'll say these aren't our final picks, but as of now, some names that at least we're thinking of. And if we had to put a little money down right now, here's where we would go. We've come up with a big list, including some that, you know, aren't actual awards. Like the first one, we'll start with Breakout Player of the Year, but we're going to go through them and let us know if you guys are on YouTube. Let us know in the comments what you guys think of our lists, what you guys have for yours. If you're on Apple Podcasts, I don't think there's a comment feature, but you can find us on Twitter or Instagram. All the links will be in the description wherever you're watching it. But Anish, do you want to get into Breakout Player of the Year?
Yeah. So for Breakout Player, this is a guy, again, when I looked at this, like, quote unquote award, I wanted to look at someone that people don't know as a household name yet that will become a little bit more and more of a name. Because, you know, we could have gone with like Chase Young doing even better in his second year, but I feel like that just wasn't doing the Breakout Player Award justice.
Yeah.
So I went with the Vikings cornerback, Cameron Dantzler. Most people did not know who he is. I feel like he's not a household name. He's way far from it right now. But in his rookie year, he definitely struggled a little bit because the Vikings secondary was just so young, especially at corner. You know, Harrison Smith can only do so much. But I think he really stepped up towards the end of the year. He got a couple picks. He had some great pass breakups towards the end of the year. And I think he's going to really elevate behind Patrick Peterson. And with, you know, that Vikings secondary, now it's got Xavier Woods there, who's a little bit more experienced at the safety position. And I think Dantzler playing alongside Patrick Peterson is really, really going to help him. So that's my pick. You know, it's a really kind of a bold one. I didn't want to do a name that like people already know that's just going to do even better, because I feel like that's not really breaking out, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So Dantzler was my pick. And if I'll throw out a couple honorable mentions, one of them is Deebo Samuel. And there's like, I know there's some bias in there, but I genuinely mean it. I think like his third year, right, being in that offense, he's going to get a bigger role this year. And obviously barring injury, I think he's going to be really good because of how versatile he is. And another guy I was thinking of, I said this last year, I still believe he can do it. It's Dante Jackson. I think he's a corner for the Panthers. I thought he played really well alongside Bradbury a couple of years ago. Last year, he struggled a little bit, but he was injured. If he can play healthy, I think he's got a big breakout year coming for him. So those are my three.
Yeah, I like the pick of Dantzler. And I went with more of a household name, I guess. And a lot of the guys I considered were second year players, but I didn't want to go with, you know, like you said, Chase Young. This guy was about the same level of prospect as Chase Young, but he really struggled his rookie year. And that's why I think he can break out. So I'm going Isaiah Simmons.
Okay.
I was really high on Simmons as a prospect, and I don't want to, you know, just completely give it up after a rookie year where he honestly rarely saw the field. But I believe the reason he did rarely see the field is because he had a lot to learn, and he's had a whole nother offseason to learn it now too. And so I'm going to stay true to kind of my draft ranking, draft grade.
Yeah, you had him pretty, I remember.
Because he honestly went down his rookie year. So there's only, you know, only way to go is up. And so I really do think that he learned a lot about how to play in that defense. And another thing that I wanted to talk about was they turned Hassan Reddick, he kind of had an underwhelming start to his career. And last year, he kind of really turned it on. So I think that Isaiah Simmons, a better prospect, will learn faster than Hassan Reddick did. And I really wouldn't be surprised if this is the year where he takes that next step. He finally learns what they're trying to do, and they really know how to use him too. Because I feel like last year, they just kind of were trying to figure out how to get him on the field. And he did have some flash plays. I believe he picked off Russell Wilson in a primetime
game. Yeah, in the Sunday night game. Clinched it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think once they find out a way to use him and he's learned, he can easily take up the mantle as one of the best linebackers in the league. And I'm hoping that this year is the year he breaks out. A couple other second year players that I thought had a chance. Where Jalen Hurts, I'm kind of 50-50, half believing in Jalen Hurts, half a little bit skeptical, yeah, especially with the rumors now that they're maybe
going
looking
after Watson. See, but like throwing that out there, just what are you doing? Again, this is the problem with the Eagles. They keep shattering their quarterbacks conference. They've done this all the time. Wentz, yeah. Even with Donovan McNabb, they yep. do this all the time. It's dumb.
Yeah, but there's still part of me that does believe in him because of what I saw from him last year and the confidence he showed, and he was really clutch in a couple of games. So I think he's got a chance, as well as J.K. Dobbins, running back for the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Now that he's kind of there more as a solo back, I think he'll get, after what he showed last year, especially in the playoffs, he'll get a lot more carries. And I think that with that rushing attack, he'll rack up the stats. And I really think he could be a breakout player of the year. But
quick question on the J.K. Between J.K. and Jonathan Taylor, who do you think has the better second year?
I forget. Marlon Mack is back on the Colts, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was a name that kind of went under the radar this offseason.
Yeah, because he was injured all of last year.
I don't know. That's a really tough question. I think I'm probably still going to go Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
But because I have the Colts, you know, just having a better season than the Ravens in general. But I really think it's really close. And I think that them two will be the two kind of biggest rookie backs. A lot of people like to talk about Cam Akers, obviously Clyde.
Yeah, I was gonna say Cam Akers just now, like as an honorable mention.
Yeah,
just a quick name throw, but I feel like people are like, that's a popular one.
Yeah,
so I want to go with something a little less conventional.
Yeah, one name that I was talking with Anish about before we started recording as like, oh, this would be kind of fun if Taylor Heinicke gets the starting job and the Washington football team does well, like if they win the division. I mean, he's an easy candidate for that breakout player of the year thing. And so, well, it's not like an actual award, and all of these guys could end up being breakout players. I think Taylor Heinicke is a name that could possibly, you know, take that mantle as the biggest breakout player this year too.
I totally agree. We were just talking about it. I think Washington's suited to be a good team in this division.
Yeah.
And again, if a quarterback always takes the credit, they always take the blame. So if Heinicke does well, a lot of people will start to see him and maybe throw him in that top, you know, maybe 20 to 15 range if you can take him to the playoffs.
Now, offensive rookie of the year, do you have a boring choice?
Yes, I have a boring choice.
I do too. Because
it's Trevor Lawrence. But I think here's the thing. Like for me, it all kind of started when we did the whole over-under thing for Jacksonville. Like once we were deciding to do that and I looked at their schedule, I was like, this team really could go 7-10. And if they do, right, if they have one of those seasons, right, where it's like 7 wins and they fight in every game, right? They're kind of a young team that's flashy, kind of like the 2018 Browns, right? Mm-hmm. I think Trevor Lawrence would get enough votes like that. It's hard because, you know, it really just depends. Like Herbert got it because of, you know, that late stretch he had towards the end. I think that was what uplifted him.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to predict this award. Even last year, I think I said Burrow last year. It's just hard. It's kind of sometimes not the conventional pick.
Yeah.
So that's why I was going to throw out some honorable mentions, which would be Kyle Pitts and Justin Fields. Cause I think Justin Fields got that X factor. If he comes in and kind of takes the Bears and uplifts them despite this hard schedule, he'd probably get. And also Kyle Pitts, if he has a record breaking year, like we've seen it with Barkley. The only time it wasn't a quarterback in the last few years, it was Saquon Barkley. And that was because he led the league in scrimmage yards.
Yeah.
And he had like a all time rookie year. So
yeah,
that would be the only way a non quarterback wins it in my book.
Yeah, and it's with the last couple of years, like the quarterback should not have won it. Like Josh Jacobs should have beaten Kyler Murray for that award.
Great.
Last year, Justin Jefferson deserved the award more than Justin Herbert. And so while I wanted to go with Kyle Pitts, I really did. You just can't not give it to a quarterback. So I gave it to Trevor Lawrence too. I also think Zach Wilson. I had to
represent. I was going to ask you about that.
I had to represent. Just because I think that the Jets will win more games than the Jaguars. And so if they have decently similar seasons and the Jets win more games, then I think that, you know, there's a chance Zach Wilson gets it over Trevor Lawrence. But it's just the level of prospect that he's at and the fact that, you know, the award is just not going to anyone other than quarterbacks right now. I had to go with Trevor Lawrence. And while that kind of sucks, like I think Kyle Pitts will probably end up having a better season at his position than Trevor Lawrence will. I think that like, this year, I think people would say Justin Jefferson is a better player than Justin Herbert. But
yeah, oh yeah, like overall. Because the thing is, like, when's the last time you've seen a tight end come out rookie year and do it? Like, I can't think of
it. Not really. The thing is, like, tight end is the hardest position to adjust to, I'd argue, just because you have to block like an offensive lineman and run routes like a receiver. Exactly. But the thing is, Kyle Pitts really won't have to do the blocking. Like, when I made my video, like, they're not going to use him as a blocker. So I think he'll be a lot more free than rookie tight ends normally are. Like, TJ Hawkinson was a great receiving tight end, but he also blocked. And so, like, he had to adjust to so much, like even same with Noah Fant. But I think Kyle Pitts is at a level where, like, now that Julio Jones is gone too, he's basically going to play wide receiver in that scheme. So I think that he won't be burdened with the blocking, and I think he'll have a better chance to adjust. Like, normally I would not put a rookie tight end there, but I do believe that because of the system he's going to be playing in, and the way they're going to use him, that he's got a chance.
Yep.
What do you have for defensive rookie of the year?
So defensive rookie of the year, it was kind of like, because with this draft, right, there wasn't that polarizing defensive prospect that was going to go like top two, like Chase Young last year, right? And I think that was the one that everyone kind of got right. So this year I went with a guy again that I did a lot of research on. We all know in the past podcasts and videos I've been high on. It's Micah Parsons. I just think, you know, him getting that attention in Hard Knocks too, that's going to be a big help. It's going to make him become a bigger name. Yeah, and he's one of those guys that, like, you know, that makes his presence known on the field and kind of pops out on your TV screen. Like, he's one of those guys. And I think, you know, in a linebacker room filled with Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, two guys that, you know, have been up and down, they just haven't really exploded and put themselves on the map. I think Micah Parsons can be that guy. I think he's a better prospect than both of them. So I think he's one of those guys that will really turn some heads and get some votes, especially from Cowboy Nation. A couple of honorable mentions I had were J.C. Horn and Azeez Ojulari. And my explanation for that was J.C. Horn, I don't know if you guys have seen, but like, I've watched a couple of videos. One of the receivers from the Raiders, Brian Edwards, he's been working out with J.C. Horn, and just watching him, it was incredible how he shut down Edwards. Like, Edwards was willing to post that, like, mad respect to him, but he looks amazing. He's also been being, you know, overshadowed in trade by Jalen Ramsey. So I think he's going to be great. And Azeez Ojulari, part of it is just because the Giants pass rush is kind of weak. So it'll get him opportunities to get a lot of those, you know, sacks, and especially be good in the run game. Cause besides Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams, there's not much. Mm-hmm. So I think for Azeez, it would be a lot of opportunities. So those were my three.
Yeah, I think I had J.C. Horn as an honorable mention too. And I think another reason is, like, he trash talks more than any player in this draft class, honestly. And that it gets you attention. And really, you need attention to win these awards. Like, there are a ton of unsung heroes, like, that honestly had great seasons last year as rookies that just don't get the attention for awards like this or to even be talked about. So J.C. Horn, there will be eyes on him. Another honorable mention I had was Jamin Davis from the Washington football team. I think he was a really good fit in their scheme. And Anish and I talked about it before we went on air. The fact that that front seven is so good is going to create a lot of opportunities for him to come in for sacks, as well as, in, you know, bad thrown balls by the quarterbacks. And he'll have those surface level stats at least to kind of entice voters for the award. But I actually ended up going with Jalen Phillips, who I thought was the best pass rusher in last year's draft class. And I think that now that he's with Brian Flores, there's a very good chance he wins this award. I'm currently working on a video of the two Jalens that the Dolphins took in the first round, Jalen Waddle and Jalen Phillips. And I've really been impressed with Phillips' speed off the line and his ability around the edge, as well as, like, his change of direction ability. And so the fact that the Dolphins run a lot of stunts and they run a lot of blitzes to try and get a free man, I think that Jalen Phillips will be kind of a perfect, match for that, and he'll be able to kind of
just capitalize. Like a plug-in, like adding to the fire, you know?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Secret sauce, that type
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. So and he's really good against the run too. And so I think he'll make those big disruptive plays that'll get him noticed. And I think that he'll most likely will have the most sacks as a rookie. That would be my prediction as of right now. And so that's why I think that honestly right now he's my front runner. And I believe like right now I think the odds are that Micah Parsons is the front runner, but I think Jalen Phillips.
Okay.
I just think that the fact that he's with Brian Flores and that Dolphins team that, again, they don't have a lot of like pass rush either. And I think that he will bring some of that too. And he'll get opportunities because teams are so scared of the blitz. So I think he'll really be able to capitalize off of that.
Hey, don't rule out JOK from the Browns.
I knew you were going to say that too. Like,
I was just kidding. I don't know, it's going to be hard for him, but yeah, he's going to be good. I think just not like defensive rookie of the year level.
And I'm going to guess we have the same comeback player of the year too. I mean,
yeah,
it seems like everyone does as of right now.
It's just narrative, right? Like, yep. I think it's too strong, but obviously the honorable mentions will be, you know, Joe Burrow, Nick Bosa, right? It's going to be thrown in there. Nick Saquon Bosa, Barkley, even Christian McCaffrey and Carson Wentz are two guys.
Another one I had is Danielle Hunter.
Oh, good one.
I thought Danielle Hunter was a top five pass rusher coming into last year, and then he got hurt. Yeah. And I, if he puts up top five sack numbers, if he's top three or even leads the league, like, Nick Bosa was one that I was like, I was really considering. Like, if
it's
I was going to go
he has a really strong case just because if he like because here's the thing. He was like, even his rookie year, it wasn't the stats. It was just his presence too.
Yep.
But if he puts it up with stats as well, right?
Like,
well,
and the fact he was on that Niners team, like when they were, and so I think they probably have another season like that this year.
He's got a case. Yeah.
He'll get, But obviously who we're alluding to, we both have Dak Prescott. Yeah. I mean,
he's just going to light it up. And I think Cowboys have it in position to where he can win it. Like, it's easy for, he's got weapons, right?
Yeah.
And I think we're all assuming he's going to come back, you know, close to 100%, if not 100%. I don't think.
And his arm's going to be at 100%. And that's really what matters. Like, this is both a narrative and a statistical award. And he's going to have the stats. We saw it last year. And he's just a really popular player.
Yeah.
Who's coming back from an injury that everyone saw and heard about and kind of devastated a lot of people because of the season he was having. So all he has to do is come back at that same level, or even if he comes back a little bit worse, like he's still, I think it's a shoe-in for that award.
They always, quarterbacks got a strong, it's very, comeback player of the year is very, very narrative based. So, and I think Dak's just got the strongest narrative.
Yeah.
I mean, you could like, unless like Saquon Barkley beats out Derrick Henry's last year, that's like the only way I feel like someone could like beat him in terms of narrative.
Or Joe Burrow like really breaks out.
Yeah, brings the like Bengals to the playoffs. That would definitely break the ice.
It's crazy though, because last year it was literally like a two-man show even before the year. Like Alex Smith and Ben Roethlisberger. Like, I love Alex Smith's story, don't get me wrong, but like we did not have a lot of comeback player of the year candidates.
Nope.
That were also like just really good football players. Yeah. And we have so many this year. I mean, all the ones we've named plus Odell Beckham.
Odell, we
like,
didn't even mention Odell. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of more names, but there's so many.
This is like, so in 2017, where like everyone got hurt, it was like Rodgers, Odell, all these guys, like similar thing this year. We're going to have a bunch of stars come back, which is great for the NFL, right? Like, you know, great for us fans.
And it's not even injuries too. Like you said, with Carson Wentz, like it's players that played poorly too. Mm-hmm. And then, like, what about Jameis Winston?
Yeah.
Like Jameis Winston is a comeback player. He didn't play last year and he was really, really bad the year before that. So like, there's a lot of names. There's a lot of names.
So that's why this one's going to have a good race. Like this one, tune in for, because I think this one could be one of those that comes down to the wire.
Yeah. Coach of the year is our next one. Anish, who do you got winning coach of the year?
So I don't want to spoil anything for record predictions because we're obviously going to start doing that as time goes on. But one team I am high on is the Los Angeles Chargers. And because of that, I'm going to pick Brandon Staley as my head coach of the year. Here's why. I think it's like, again, same thing with comeback player of the year. Most of these awards, honestly, it's just narrative based and like kind of how what we saw with Kevin Stefanski, right? Even like Kyle Shanahan, when his name got thrown in there, right? All these young coaches that come in and do well, that's always going to put your name in consideration. I forgot Brian Flores. That's another name that's there. He's my honorable mention, by the way, coach of the Dolphins. But yeah, I think Brandon Staley, coach of the Chargers, I think he's put in a really good position. Like, this team is up and coming, right? They won their last four games heading into 2021. And obviously you've got a star quarterback. You've got a great offense around you. Defense is finally getting Derwin James back. We didn't even mention him for comeback player of the year. That's another candidate. So yeah, I think Brandon Staley could win it. He's just got to win games. If he makes the playoffs, I think he's not a lock, but obviously he's going to be thrown in there if he makes the playoffs.
And I think that like another thing for Staley is the fact that the team last year was bad because of the coach.
Yeah.
Like because of the coach, like it wasn't because of Herbert. Herbert was great. Like, it was literally just because of Anthony Lynn that they weren't good.
Questionable.
There were obviously some other minor reasons, but the main reason that they lost a lot of games and publicly known too was because of Anthony Lynn. So if the team does well, it's most likely because of Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
Because
like the Chargers, right? They're always like blowing leads. They're always injured. Yep. If they can like kind of erase that like notion, I think that's works.
And then, and that comes down to him. And I mean, this defense is only going to get better. I like that pick, but he is one of my honorable mentions, but I'm not going with him. A couple of honorable mentions I had, Ron Rivera, I think. But I was a little bit more skeptical of that one just because, like, these are awards given out by the NFL, and they were not happy with the, you know, the way that the football team was being run. I saw they just got fined, or they got fined too. So
yeah.
I think they'd be skeptical to give, you know, an award like that. So, he'd be – and I'll mention for mine, I just don't think he's going to win it based on that, like, even if they do well. But the person I'm going with is Sean McDermott. I did a record prediction too, went through every season or every game of the season like we did last year. I won't spoil seeding and everything like that, but the Bills did very well. Sean McDermott, surprisingly, honestly, has not won the award.
A lot of coaches surprisingly haven't.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think about. Like, Andy Reid hasn't, Bruce Arians hasn't, Kyle Shanahan never has. And he was another name that like I kind of contemplated, but I, like I've said, I don't think the Niners are going to win the division. And if you're not winning the division, like, I mean, I guess
it's hard.
I guess Browns. Well,
KS won it for us, yeah. But that was, again, that was so narrative. But literally bringing us to the playoffs. Yeah, that's
the Cleveland Browns. So I'm going to go with Sean McDermott. I think that the Bills do well, and he finally gets a little bit more representation. He gets some hardware for all the great work he's done at Buffalo. He's one of the best coaches in the NFL, and 100%. No one really talks about him. 100%. Like, a lot of people now are – have you seen the things that are coming out about, like, the Patriot way is, like, they're, like, not good to players, and people, like, aren't liking as much of what it is. And the fact that after Brady left, things have been kind of breaking down in their locker room a little bit. Mm-hmm. I would argue that the Bills, honestly, it seems like have the best culture in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
We've been saying this last two years.
Like,
I think it's due to McDermott. Yeah, so exactly. I think he finally gets rewarded for it. And I hope he wins one, even though they're in the Jets division. Like, I think he deserves this award at least once.
I think people are giving too much credit to Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and forgetting what McDermott, like,
yep.
It was the other way around in 2019. Everyone was giving McDermott credit and not Josh Allen and the team. I think it needs to, like, you can even it out. You can give it to both. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be one or the other. This whole Brady Belichick narrative, I think, is spreading around the NFL. So it doesn't have to be like that. You can always give credit to both. So
yeah,
I've got
him winning it. We're down to like the big three now, and these are the ones, especially the one we're going to talk about now, which is Offensive Player of the Year. These are the ones where it kind of, there's a lot of names there to pick from, and it gets pretty hard. Who do you have as your Offensive Player of the Year?
This one is so bold, and it's so ironic because last year I wasn't that high on him, and it's Calvin Ridley. This one's super bold, obviously. Like, you know, he would have to lead the league in receiving yards, which I think he's got a real case for. Like, you know, in an offense like Atlanta that loves throwing the ball, even with Arthur Smith, what he's bringing in with the Titans too, they would throw it downfield a lot. Yeah. Calvin Ridley gets open. He's really good. He did struggle against some top tier corners, but I think he's always gotten better each and every single year. And I think in year four, this is where he really can shine. This one, it was a bold pick though. Don't get me wrong. Like, this one was really, really bold. The Falcons would have to win some games for this to happen. A couple honorable mentions I had were like Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook. Those were like my two, but this one is so hard to predict because it's always that one guy that has a record year. And especially with 17 games, we just don't know what a record year looks like.
Nope.
Right. So, you know, cause a running back could get 2000 yards, but everyone can say, oh, what about that extra game though? Right. Like, so it's really hard to tell. You could obviously say like, that's why Derrick Henry won it last year, Michael Thomas the year before. They had record-breaking years. We just don't know what a record-breaking year would be this year. So that's why I thought it was really hard to give it to a bigger name. That's why I put Calvin.
And a lot of records are going to be broken this year. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to make the disclaimer before, but we said that we could not have our MVP if they were an offensive player, be an offensive player of the year. And we said no quarterback.
So offensive player of the year can't be like a quarterback or your
MVP. Or who you have winning MVP, just because – you know, we want to mention as many names as possible. No, I agree with you. And this was easily the hardest of all the things. A couple honorable mentions I have before I get into who I chose were Stephon Diggs. If I think that the Bills are going to do well, I think Stephon Diggs big builds on his year that he had last year. But again, like even last year, he had the most receptions and the most receiving yards in the league, and he still didn't win the award. And the person he lost it to with my other honorable mention is Derrick Henry. I just think that it's really hard to have the most rushing yards in the NFL back to back to back years. Yeah. You told me last year I was dumb for picking him to repeat, and I probably was. I just got a little bit lucky. And so for him to repeat again would be insane. The person I have winning is going to make you happy is Nick Chubb.
I knew you were going to pick. I was thinking about it. I was like, I had Chubb in my honorable mentions too, but I was just like, it's hard for him. But I want to hear your case. Yeah, go ahead.
It is hard because because Kareem Hunt is there. But I think that the Browns, like I mentioned with the Bills, I have the Browns having a high seed in the NFL. I've got them doing very well. And while I'm high on Baker Mayfield, a lot higher than other people are. And I was really impressed with the way he improved last year. This is still a run first team. The way they win is when they run the ball well. And if we get a full healthy season of Nick Chubb, there is no reason he can't lead the league in rushing yards, with Kareem Hunt.
That was my pick last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Kareem Hunt's going to take some third down catches. He's going to take, you know, a series or two where he gets the ball. But I think I can see Nick Chubb having a Derrick Henry type season and Kareem Hunt still rushing for like 500 yards. Like that's, this offense is going to be built around the run even more than the Titans has been the last couple of years. So I think Nick Chubb has a very good shot at winning this award. And if the Browns do well, like I think they will, there'll be a lot of eyes on him. So that's why he was my pick.
So now we're getting into DPOY, right? You want to go first on that one?
No, you go. You go.
All right. So this one, I'm just really hoping it comes out eventually. Okay. I'm picking Myles Garrett. I really hope it happens. I probably won't because I picked it again, but like he's one of those guys. Cause here's the thing, Khalil Mack, his stats don't really back him up half the time because he's always taking a side away. So he just doesn't get that much action. And because he's so disruptive in the run. And like, if you put him as the best edge rusher, I wouldn't blame you because he's that good. So I feel like it wouldn't be Khalil Mack. TJ Watt, I mean, I feel like people would give like this voter, what do you call it? Sentiment, right?
Yeah.
Like to maybe say like, hey, you got robbed last year. Okay, I'll give it to you. So those were my,
but I don't, I mean, the Steelers aren't going to be very good.
Exactly. So you got to be good to kind of win it. Right. And if Myles Garrett takes this team again to this another level and just goes bonkers, because the first 12 weeks before COVID, he was the front runner and he was having a really, really good year. So I hope he can build on that, which obviously I think most people expect him to. I think he's going to be a monster. So, you know, again, full off season of training, everything being back to full health. I think he's going to be great. That's my DPOY. You know, again, it's hard, but you know, it's got to be a good team, right? So my honorable mentions again would be TJ Watt, Khalil Mack, and you always got to throw Aaron Donald in the mix. But yeah, that's my DPOY.
You know what the Defensive Player of the Year voters showed me last year?
What'd they show you?
They love Aaron Donald. I mean, like, and like I said, with the AFC, with the Browns and the Bills, I have the Rams doing very well. There will be eyes on him. They're going to get a lot of primetime games. And that's when these players win awards, is those games. And I mean, Aaron Donald is just
fourth time. If he wins it this year, he's already put him a case for greatest defensive player ever.
He's just unmatched. Like, no one does what Aaron Donald does. And I think that's what wins him the award every year. Like, TJ Watt, like, you could argue deserved it last year. But the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of edge rushers like TJ Watt. Myles Garrett.
He's also got a great team around him. Like,
But Aaron Donald, there's no one in the league like Aaron Donald. I saw the ESPN article that we've laughed at a lot, which the execs like rank their top 10. And, you know, someone had Aaron Donald as the fourth best defensive interior. And I don't even care if they're not even like related to like watching football at all. There could be some like the president. They just need to be fired immediately because no one does what Aaron Donald does.
I don't think anyone ever has done with it. Because here's the thing. He's a defensive tackle that can run faster than most edge rushers.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he's that big and strong to play the nose, like, you know, nose. He can play nose. He can play on the, he's played edge before. Like, he can do anything on that defensive line. And he's just so disruptive.
And he makes everyone around him better. Like, he 100%. Turned Leonard Floyd into a good player. Yep. Like,
that's Dante powerful. Fowler too.
That's powerful stuff. When Dante Fowler was around him, he was good. And he really wasn't that great with Atlanta last year. So Aaron Donald is going to win the award, I think. And really every year, I'm going to predict it back, like, however many years it takes. There's just no one that does what Aaron Donald does. And I think that's what makes him valuable. And that's what, you know, entices voters to vote for him. Because it really is kind of like a defensive MVP. So, you know, maybe TJ Watt had a better season than Aaron Donald, but there's no one more valuable on the defensive side of the ball than Aaron Donald every single year. TJ Watt was my honorable mention. I also think Chase Young would have that year. I would not be surprised if he leads the league in sacks this year.
Oh, one more to Joey Bosa.
Joey Bosa, and then Nick Bosa was my other honorable mention. Yeah. Like I mentioned him for comeback player of the year. But it's time for the big kahuna, this is the big one,
yeah.
The biggest award. We don't know. We talked about some of them before.
We don't know each other, so
no idea.
He's tried to guess. I have a feeling I know Jack's, but I don't think Jack knows mine. But so you want me to go first?
Let me know it. I want to hear it.
Okay, well, first, I cannot believe it's already been a full year since that Carson Wentz MVP. Can you believe that? Like, it's
I thought you were going to say since like his injury or something like that, and you were going to pick him again.
No. I'm just saying it's crazy how it's come full circle. Like, I've been slandered so much for that take for the last year. It's just, it's been a full year now. So I'm going to do myself a favor and not pick a player that I'm going to just believe in and ride the coattails on, because it's just going to come back and bite me. I know it. But yeah, so it's not Carson Wentz. So my MVP pick is a guy that I'm actually not that high on in general. I just haven't been throughout his career. But I think this one is kind of narrative based, and there's always that one guy that just rises through and just kind of throws himself in the conversation. It's Matthew Stafford. That's the guy I have winning MVP. Yeah, it's pretty, I know it's a pretty weird one, but I just think the Rams are going to do really well in the regular season. And I think he's going to put up numbers. Like, he's always put up numbers in Detroit, but I think he's going to have eyes on him. Like you said, the Rams are going to get primetime games. They're in the NFC West, so he's going to have some big, big matchups, and I think he's going to play well in them. Like, this is by far the best team he's had. And I know I, you know, knock on him for having top 10 defenses and kind of falling short in the playoffs, but this is really the best team he's had. And I think there's really no weakness, like definitive weakness on the Rams. So this is a huge take, right? Like, it's, people are definitely going to be like, oh, this guy, you know, he finally gets the team that he wants. He's been putting up so many numbers in Detroit, and look what he's doing now with LA, taking them to new heights. So I feel like he's going to get some MVP votes like that. So yeah, Matthew Stafford is my MVP pick, and my honorable mentions, you got to throw Patrick Mahomes in there all the time. Like, he just puts stats up. And another guy I wanted to put out there was Justin Herbert. I think a lot of people had Kyler as their dark horse last year. I think Justin Herbert's going to be my dark horse just the second year, because I have the Chargers doing well.
Remember all the people that had Drew Lock as their, either their pick, they really? Or their dark horse last year? Remember? Wow. Everyone really was in love with Drew Lock for that award.
Interesting. I was high on Drew Lock. I was not that high. One more honorable mention. Should I just throw Carson Wentz in there for fun? No, I'm just kidding.
You would. I mean, you think they will.
I think the Colts will do really well. I think, but Carson Wentz stat-wise, I don't think he'll be asked to do as much as he had to.
Especially with, you know, we mentioned their running back room earlier.
Yeah, so that's what it is. I feel like that's just, but yeah, Matthew Stafford is my pick.
I've seen people, you know, picking Matthew Stafford. Really? I'm not expecting it from you.
Exactly, right? Because I'm not that high on him.
If I was going to go with an NFC quarterback, I would have gone with Matthew Stafford, probably, just because I have the Rams doing well, and I don't think they're going to run the ball quite as much as some of the other teams, like the Niners, who I have doing well.
Exactly.
Or even the Bucks. Like, I think the Bucks will run the ball more than the Rams. Do you want to guess my pick? Who do you think it is?
Okay, so I don't know why I thought this, but like, when you said you mentioned records, I thought it was Baker Mayfield, but I don't know if I'm right. I think I know you had the Browns doing really well, but I can't remember the other team that was Josh Allen. That was another guess. Those are my two guesses.
Yeah, it's Josh Allen.
That's so ironic coming from you. That is so...
No, I last year I thought Josh Allen was going to suck. Yeah. I mean, and now I think he's going to win MVP. It's literally complete 180. I hate it. If it happens, I will be upset. I don't want him to win MVP, but the Bills, I think, are going to do really well. I'll spoil one seeding. I think the Bills, in my playoff predictor, they're going to grab the one seed. I've mentioned, I think Kansas City has a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover from that loss, and it's going to hit them kind of hard. And I had the Bills, actually, I think, beating them in the regular season and jumping and grabbing the one seed. Josh Allen put up MVP-level numbers last year, but simply got beat out. I mean, that's all it was. He got beat out. And this year, I think he's going to win the award.
Idea how much I'm smiling right now hearing you say, talk good things about Josh Allen. You guys don't understand.
If he doesn't, too. Think about it. Like, if I jinxed him and he's now...
You guys, like... For all the newer viewers who are watching this, like, the context, we have literally spent hours going back and forth. We used to go hours back and forth between like Josh Allen and like Sam Darnold. And
this was after like their first 2 years.
This was 2019 and 2020. These were the summers. We used to go back and forth for hours. And I used to defend Josh Allen so much. Well, I mean, to hear him say this. Oh man,
you have to give me a little bit of credit, because the only argument you came up with, dude, I saw flashes though. Yeah. Or like, I'm like, he's inaccurate. You're like, I think he can improve. I'm like,
but I think the flashes were good enough to say, hey, he's gonna do well in year three.
See, but I was arguing he was better right now.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's besides the point. I think Josh Allen wins MVP. My honorable mentions, just like you actually, are Mahomes and Herbert, two teams that I have still doing well, very well in the AFC. And Herbert's the pick. Like, Herbert's who I want to win. Herbert's who I'm rooting for to win the award. But I'm going to go with Josh Allen. Do we want it? Like, are there any other, like, off-the-cuff awards we can think of right now?
I don't even know. Off-the-cuff awards. Maybe, like, most surprising team. That could be one.
Most surprising team?
That's a see for me, it's hard. Like I don't know.
I just feel like there aren't many teams that I had doing well that were surprises. Like, I guess.
Yeah. And the playoff predictors.
Washington doing pretty well. Yeah, we could do most surprising and disappointing. I think a disappointing team. I'm honestly going to say the Chicago Bears. Like their record really disappointing, but their schedule is brutal.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think I had them winning six games and six or five. Like, and with the fact, like, we don't know what's going on at quarterback. It's Andy Dalton. Maybe it's Justin Fields.
Yeah.
We never know. And I'm still not a big fan of Pace or Nagy. And the fact their schedule is so brutal, like, I think that there's a chance that they win six, you know, or even five games. Like, and they go from taking Justin Fields and everyone being happy to then another top 10 pick. Yeah. So I think disappointing team, I'm going to go with the Bears. But I got to think of a surprising team.
Well, I got two surprising teams, one from the NFC, one from the AFC. NFC, I got Carolina. And that'll put a smile on Jack's face. I think Carolina's got a bunch of underrated guys.
That me are too, but their schedule's hard too.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. But I think if they can, you know, kind of put it together and finish off games, that's what they couldn't do last year. If they can finish off games right now, Matt Rhule's got another year under him. I think they could really be a surprising team. But for the AFC, it's going to be Denver.
Okay.
If Drew Lock can put it together, if one of those two can put it somewhat together, that roster could go, like, I think they could really make a case for a playoff run. Because I think, you know, the other teams like New England, people know are going to bounce back. I feel like people are high on them. You know, other like the Saints and the Viking, I feel like people are expecting a bounce back year. But those two were like dark horse under the radar, in my opinion. Disappointing is really hard for me. I just don't know.
Really, I know mine too. Actually, my main disappointing teams would be the Baltimore Ravens.
I was going to say that. Yeah, Baltimore. Sorry.
I had them missing the playoffs. And that's pretty disappointing. Surprising. Like, if the Niners come in and they win, like, what, 12? If the Niners come in and win 12 games, is that surprising?
Honestly, yeah. I feel like it's hard for – ooh, that's tough, actually. Like,
the Chargers, game. Like, some people think they're going to – it's hard because, like, a lot of people have opinions about, like, everyone being good. When it comes into the year and you're, like, coming into the year, everyone is guessing that teams are going to be better than they are.
They're all – yeah, because see, with the NFL, it's all parity, right? So there's so many, like – everyone's expecting a rise and everyone's expecting a fall. And that happens every year. Like,
yeah.
That's why I don't fault anyone for trying to guess, because it just happens. But it's hard to pick that team that fall. Like, last year was probably Philly, right? And that was falling and then rising, right? You could say Buffalo, I guess, maybe took a rise.
Buffalo, but like, Washington, like
Cleveland, right? That is just hard to pick. But those are probably the, like, just cuff awards that we just threw out there.
Yeah. You want to do disappointing player?
Ooh, disappointing player.
I guess if my disappointing team is the Ravens, it's probably going to be Lamar, but I think Lamar still has a pretty good season. I don't know.
I like the Ravens receiving core. I think Rashad Bateman's going to be good. I like him. I think I thought he was the second best route runner in the class. I thought he's that good. Disappointing player is really hard for me. That's tough.
I'm going to go Kyler Murray. I think just another season of them missing. I think I had them missing the playoffs.
I had them.
I don't quite remember, but I think there's a good chance they miss again. Because at the end of the last season, the wheels kind of fell off. And yeah, he was hurt. But if they miss the playoffs again, I feel like he's a pretty easy choice for disappointing player.
Disappointing player is hard.
It's hard to, like, predict that people are going to
downfall or
poorly.
Something,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like,
and it almost has to be a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, you could, like, they've, yeah, that's true. Like, receivers don't just fall off or something. Like, running backs too. Not really.
And it's not as important.
Actually, maybe I might go with Josh Jacobs. I feel like maybe if he, maybe he doesn't do as well as you hope. Because I feel like Zeke is actually going to go up. And I feel like that's going to suck for Tony Pollard, who a lot of people, including us, are fans of. But yeah, I think maybe Josh Jacobs could be one. But Raider fan, don't get mad at me. I'm not like...
Another name we forgot for comeback player of the year is George Kittle. Like...
Right.
She goes to be mad that we forgot that name.
Apologize. It's okay. We got Nick Bosa in there.
So yeah,
we got
Nick
Bosa.
Yeah.
We had some Niner love.
And we're sorry if you're like a Lions fan and we didn't mention any of your players.
Stafford. They always got love for Matthew Stafford.
That's true. Yeah. That's basically a win and I guess a loss at the same time for Detroit fans. But anyways, you know, we hope you enjoyed the episode. These are some of the most fun ones because you just get to, I mean, it's just basically talking about all the players that you like. Like, it's kind of just a big discussion. And we want to hear the players you like. If you're on YouTube, down in the comment section, like, if you guys are thinking about leaving a comment but you don't want to because you don't think it'll be seen or you don't think it matters, like, we want to know.
We always look at them. Trust me.
There are not as many things. Like, there are not many things in my life that I enjoy more than like talking to you guys in the comments.
And 100%. I 100% agree with that. That's one of my favorite things to do is reply to comments.
And if it's just you guys talking about the players you like, literally just throw the names down there in the bottom and we'd love to respond to you. If you're doing that, also please think about subscribing, leaving a like on the video, hitting the notification bell if you enjoyed the content. If you're on YouTube, if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can follow the show and leave a 5-star review if you really enjoyed it. As always, the links in our description. We got our Twitter, our Instagram, our retooled website, which you guys can subscribe to so you don't miss out on anything. Literally any podcast episode, YouTube, all the links get posted there every time we put something new out. But anyways, that's our award prediction so far. When Srigar gets back and we're closer to the season, maybe we'll do a final awards prediction, go through a little bit more, you know, a little bit quicker. But that's all we got for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening. We've been the Cold Hard Truth Podcast, and we will see you next time.